In a moment, in Yahadus, what Yahadus does is Yahadus takes certain themes and it isolates them. Certain midos ha'odom and derech darkei ha'odom, and it isolates them. And what the Torah did with Amalek was the Torah showed that there is a phenomenon, Amalekism. There is a concept of Amalekism. Amalekism is a category. It's a category, a philosophical category in men. It's identifiable, just like it has a certain characteristics, a certain profile. It's identifiable, and it's a way of life that must be identified and updated. That's what Amalekism is. It's a phenomenon that Torah identifies. You have to understand, when Torah identifies it, it means that it's a significant theme in human life. Not just a particular nation or group may embrace it to the fullest, but there is also a derech, a way the Torah is against a certain way of life that Amalek represents. And in general, that's the style of the Torah. For instance, you have Avodah Zarah. You have the Issa Avodah Zarah in its full-fledged form. But there's also a derech Avodah Zarah, a way of thinking of Avodah Zarah. I'll give you an example. One of the examples. What is a way of thinking of Avodah Zarah? I would say that the most pronounced feature of Avodah Zarah is a tendency for a person to be, I would call it, anti-coincidentalism. In other words, that there's always a type of person that points to coincidence and says, I don't believe in coincidence. Therefore, this proves X, Y, Z, whatever it might be. That derech and mahalach of machshava is mahalach of Avodah Zarah, the way of speaking of Avodah Zarah. Because if you have a system with events, so chachma, logic, dictates that there must be coincidences. So if you're going to maintain, and the old Avodah Zarah always point to coincidences to prove their belief system. It can't be a coincidence that this happened and that happened. That's derech and mahalach of the machsheves of the Avodah Zarah. Unfortunately, and we see among our people the same type of thinking. But we should, the purpose of Kol HaTorah Kulo is to identify certain ways of thinking and to show which ones are valid and which ones are invalid. That's why the Gemara says, the well-known Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says that that's going to name it off. The Gemara says, Zunim Yester Yakiva. He says, we know that Avodah Zarah is nothing, less than Yeshasa. It has no reality to it. But we see that people go and get cured by the Derech Avodah Zarah. So he says, I'll give you a muscle. He says, he said, I gave Moshe Lamar Dava Dama. He says, there were people that used to take money for, in a city, they take money for investments. So they always took money with witnesses. One time, somebody gave them money without witnesses. They just gave them the money. They trusted them. So the wife of this fellow said, look what happened. This guy forgot to make a record of the loan. So this is a great opportunity for us. We can just deny the loan and keep the money. So the husband said, just because this person was a fool, we should lose our whole credibility. I mean, doesn't make any sense. So Rabbi Akiva said that's the same thing with the cures that you're talking about. He says, Askach Yisurin, B'shor Shemeshagin Osal Odom, Mashbin Osan Shlo Teofu Ela Beyon Ploni, V'lo Seitu Ela Beyon Ploni, U'B'shor Ploni, Svagi Dei Ploni, V'ayi Dei Sam Ploni. A person has an illness, So an illness has a profile and a nature, and it has a specific form to it because it's a medical phenomenon, it's a scientific phenomenon, and it's dependent upon specifics and details. So therefore, it's subject to a certain cure at a certain time, at a certain date, to a certain individual. It says, Kivanshi Giasmanam Lotseis. So when the time came for the illness to leave the person, because the individual complied with all the laws of nature that this illness is in conformity with, so Holach Zeh LeBeis Lotus Kachavim. This person happened to go that day, coincidentally, he went to the house of Avodah Zarah. Omer Yisurin Dinu Shelo Neitze. So he gives a marshal. So as if the Yisurin say, well, we shouldn't leave this individual this time because he's going to have a wrong idea. The Chos of Omer Yisurin Neisheshote Zeh Osa Shelo Kahogan Omer Na'avet Shlosehu. It's because this fool happened to have a crazy idea. So we should defy all the laws of nature that God implanted in us? Yeah. So what are Chazal telling you? Chazal telling you that method of thinking, the method of thinking of anti-coincidentalism is Derech Avodah Zarah. That leads to Avodah Zarah. And you see in Mitzrayim, it's an interesting thing, that in Mitzrayim, with all the nations, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he first approached Paro, he didn't do anything. He just told Paro the idea. He told him the idea. And what was the idea that of Kol Yisrael, and that's it. No need to. So then he told him that there's going to be problems. Penny's going to be a devil of a chorus. Yeah, but Paro wasn't impressed. The Ramban says that Paro was a chacham gadol. Paro was not a fool, he was a chacham gadol. And that's why he wasn't impressed. He wouldn't have been impressed with it with Nisi. Because he was above the level of being taken in by coincidence. The whole concept, the essential thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to convey to him was not the Nisi, it was the idea. The true idea of a Kaddish Baruch. And that's why he answered, why adopt this Hashem? God is the last, I don't care what happens, it doesn't make any difference. If the idea doesn't make any sense to me, I can't do it. It was a Chacham Gadol. And you see when he was chosen to, what did he say? He didn't say all these things happened to me and that's why I have to get in. He said, Adashem Atzadik, Vani Vami Harashon. So you see he was a Chacham Gadol. He wasn't just an ordinary individual. So the concept in Yehadus is, and the biggest, I guess one of the outstanding places where you see this is Yom Hamashiach Hamolek. Because what does the pasuk say? Vaya kasher Haven, like I mentioned last week, kasher Haven is the other of the governor Yisrael. So when his hands went up, so the Jews were victorious. But no matter how many times that would happen, even if it happened 1,000 times, we would never say that his hands being raised up is the cause of our success. Because it's nonsensical. We're not moved by coincidence. We're moved by ideas. That's Yahweh. That's why Chazal say, the Yodol, the Moshe, also Muhammad, oh no, it has nothing to do with it. It could happen 1,000 times in a row. There's no cause of it. It's coincidence. Anyway. So there's a derech of thinking in Torah. And just like there's Avodah Zarah in its core form, you see, there is derech machsheves, a style of a derech machsheves of Avodah Zarah, a way of thinking. That is a way of thinking of Avodah Zarah. And we are supposed to remove from ourselves not just the actual performance in its most gross form of Avodah Zarah. We're not simply anti-Avodah Zarah in its gross form. we're anti everything that has to do with machshavas of avodah zarah. And that's why Chazal say that kol ha'tara kula is to destroy avodah zarah. And that's true today, it's true then, it's true loss of love, it's always true. So the same thing is true with Amalek. That if we're to understand Amalek, we have to understand what the philosophy of Amalek is, and to understand that it's really a derech. It's a certain derech ha-machshava. And you have to isolate what that derech ha-machshava is and uproot it. So the idea, I touched on it last week. I see it wasn't clear, so I just wanted to come back this week just to explain what the concept, what the philosophy of Amalek is. See, the philosophy of Amalek has, like everything else, like just like Avodah Zarah, it has a gross form, but it has a subtle form, and it's a part of human nature. It's tied into human nature. That's why Ki Macho Emchez, there's another interesting here, Chazal. Chazal say, Ki Macho Emchez, Zecha Amalek, Mitach, Tishamayim. So Chazal say, La'asid Lavo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that Ani Ba'atmi, he says, Kach Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sisi Mokama B'para B'Amalek, B'Sisra V'lo Niskara V'lo Nisyashra, Daiti Ake'eth, and Nekoma Ani Ba'atmi, La'asid Lavo B'Amalek. What does Chazal say? Both Hashem no tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu avonu seyem shel Yisrael v'nosein osam al Amalek or Russia. Okay, so you see, what does it mean? It means to say, the Medrash is saying in a very nice way that we also have partake of Midas Amalek, because every human being, insofar as a human being, has Midas Ra'os. And we don't isolate one group. We have a group that can embrace evil in its most grotesque form, but it has to come from human nature, so it must be something which is a human nido. And that's what it means. So that's why, that's the concept. Macho emche zecha molek really means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is no tell of understanding from the soil. And Mashlicha Alamot, what does it mean? It's a derech mashal, of course, but there's a deep idea. The deep idea is that the Jews themselves will be removed from the hate of Amalek, which they themselves participate in to a degree. That's really what the Chazal is saying. So the question is, Amalek is really a whole philosophy and a whole hashkafas v'yahada. And really, it has to do with the very identity of Klal Yisrael, in juxtaposition to a misconception, a misconceived notion. And the misconceived notion is fully expressed by Amalek, but it is possible for a Jew to participate in these ideas as well. They're not immune to it. Not immune to it, because we're all human beings. As a matter of fact, there's a Mishnah that says, the Mishnah says openly, that Tov Shevet Abachim is Shutzal Shel Amalek. So you see that the Tov Shevet Abachim, so you see the concept of Amaleki Ibn. It's possible to exist in Israel as well. Amalekiism is a phenomenon. It's just like the psychologists have a pathology. And in medicine as well, there's a pathology, and there's a kind of an illness that has a profile and a form. Yahadus singled out a certain kind of a diseased philosophy, and that is Amalekism. Yes. What is the concept of Amalekism? Okay. Yeah. The concept of Amalekism is an interesting thing, that we mentioned, in a brief outline, but the outline was that it is, that Amalekism is tied to the aggrandizement of man. Okay? But the question is, I mean, you have a lot of philosophies that are tied to the aggrandizement of man. For instance, in the Torah, what's the foremost philosophy in the Torah? The Torah mentions about the aggrandizement of man is really Dorah Plaga. Dorah Plaga is the aggrandizement of man. In Dorah Plaga, the man is supreme. And it's expressed through his architecture. And architecture is something which is, if a man wants to look upon something and feel that he's great, he looks at his architecture, the New York skyline. This is a moves the emotions, and it makes man feel great. And that's why in every society the architecture is so important, because the architecture symbolizes the work and the greatness of man. So what is it? So that was Dorah Plaga. That was the Midgar. That was the idea of the Midgar. Okay, man's architecture is a symbol to his greatness. But that's not the same thing as Amalekism. It's interesting. Amalekism is not the same thing, because you see that Dorah Plaga, when they're kind of Nisa, right? They weren't judged with the penalty of annihilation. But their idea was a terrible idea. As a matter of fact, like the Medrash says, I mean, the tower was a sword against God, which means to say man is great, and we worship the greatness of man. But nevertheless, you see, what was their fate? Their fate was that they worked together, and they were dispersed. So once they were dispersed, man can't accomplish anything by himself. He can't do anything. He has to work in a group. I mean, how much science do we have if everybody was an individual? You'd have no science. Because it's not possible for man to accomplish anything by himself. One individual can't accomplish anything. You need to have a communal phenomenon. Otherwise, man, you can have the greatest idea, but that's it. He has the idea, and then the person perishes, and then the idea is gone, and that's it. You have to work together. So the fate of the Dorah Plaga was simply that they were dispersed, that they weren't permitted to work together. But Amalek is Mashiach. So what's the difference between Dorah Plaga and between Amalek? Malikism and the philosophy of Dorah Plaga. That's the central question that we have to answer. Okay? Yes. The difference is, to express it in one word, the difference is the Dorah Plaga is the aggrandizement of man collectively, and Amalek is the aggrandizement of the self. That's the difference. It's interesting. Apparently the Torah can tolerate even the aggrandizement of man. Why? Because man, after all, is Yetzir Kapah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wouldn't have his essence if it weren't for the fact that God implanted in him something which is not found in the rest of nature, which is the ability to perceive Chachma, to somehow tune in to an underlying reality in the universe. So that is something which is a great phenomenon. So even though it is corrupt, it is absolutely corrupt to aggrandize man, but there is an element in it which has something there, you see, in a distorted way, even the most distorted way. And actually, I mean, if a person understands the philosophy of Dorah Plaga, we would say they're high of Kliya to destroy them, because it's a terrible, terrible philosophy. It's against Kol HaTeraphim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachman and Chesed knows no bounds, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined that they're not high of Kliya. Okay? But there is, nevertheless, we can see that there is some kind, the Chesed Hashem relates. There is a reason for the Chesed Hashem. The Chesed Hashem seems beyond our world. I mean, but the fact is, there is an idea that we can see, and the idea is that soft goes soft. Nevertheless, it is something there. Yes, man does have a greatness. It's corruption to aggrandize man. It's corruption. It's kshira. Terrible, it's an evil philosophy. But there is some kind of something there that is that partakes of some kind of truth in a distorted way, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chazdo v'rachamav did not destroy it. But Amalek, there is nothing. Because in Amalek, it is not the worship or the aggrandizement of man, but it's the aggrandizement and worship of the self. The self is not the same thing. The self is simply the worship of a primitive instinctual desire in man, taking the most primitive, a very primitive, and perhaps the most primitive, instinctual element in man, and making it into a philosophy. By the way, I mean, all evil has that one thing in common, that all evil is really taking an instinctual element and raising it to a philosophy. That's the underlying definition of all evil. But it depends which instinctual element the individual takes for his philosophy. This, the Torah isolates, that this is the worst. It's intolerable and it cannot exist in God's world. And that is the worship and the aggrandizement of the self. I mentioned last week the idea of, the idea of celebrity status, you see. And I mentioned the Haman of Russia. But this is something that I want to make clear, that while it is true that there is no difference in kind between the desire of a Haman or of a Hitler and the desire of an individual for aggrandizement of the self in any shape, form, or manner, and that's something which exists on a constant basis, there's no difference in kind, really, because it has the exact same objective. That is not to say that every individual that is ambitious and is interested in what they call today is 15 minutes. I mean, is a Hitler or emotional? Doesn't mean that. But it means that he partakes, insofar as that element is concerned, it's the same element in kind. There is no difference. The only thing is that the full-blown example of that is Haman and Hitler and the German people, and that whole Derech HaChayim. You see, that's the, because in its fullest form, the self knows nothing else, you see, and is ruthless, and is the greatest evil if you take it to its fullest, you see, the nature of the instinct of the self, qua self, is the most ruthless, evil element that can exist. Because the self, insofar as it is the self, knows nothing else. But it doesn't mean to say that every person that's engaged in that to any degree has reached there are many, many factors in human life. I mean, many factors. A person may be ambitious, but he has other things that stop him. He's not going to kill somebody. He's not going to do this. It's limited ambition. But insofar as if we just look at the nature of the aggrandizement of the self, there is no difference in kind, per se, no difference in kind between the individual that is looking and seeking recognition, you see, and power for himself in a friendly, non-hostile manner, or whether he will go the full length, you see. So what happens is that people aren't easily capable of distinction. You say, well, this person is not a Hitler, wouldn't do this and that. It is true. Yehadus recognizes that. It's true. He's not a Russia Gomor like that. But nevertheless, it shouldn't stop us from isolating the element and understanding that element and seeing where in its full form where that element leads when it's unencumbered and when it can actually develop itself to the fullest. And we should isolate that phenomenon and understand it. And that's what the Chazal say. Imocho, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo'asid Lovo, Imocho Emche Zecha Amalek, it means that a Kadosh Baruch himself will be done, and he will take up on a tree of Yisrael and throw them on a Molech. That's exactly what it means. What it means is that they'll recognize, that Klal Yisrael will have the true recognition and the true knowledge of psychology and philosophy, and they'll understand that element. They'll have it isolated, and they will not cater to it one iota. That's a higher level. So this is to me, it shows you that a quote good person can also be involved. It depends on the degree. You can't say a big tzaddik is not going to be, but he doesn't necessarily mean he's the worst Russia. But it also doesn't mean that in kind he's not a molech. A person can be a molech in kind, but not a molech in fact. It's two different ideas. As a matter of fact, there's another Chazal that says, why is it right after a molech that says, What is the next parasha? The next parasha is Vayishma Yisrael. Vayishma Yisrael. Right afterwards. It says, Ki Yod Al Kesh Kama Ukama Vashem Amoz Yidor Dor Vayishma Yisrael Choyin Nidyan. The Chazal say that what is it? These two parashas are related. There's a reason. There's a Tama Mikra. The Torah doesn't just write things. The Torah is written with Chochmah. So there's a reason why these two parshas are following each other and are connected. And Chazal say, because Yisrael himself was Be'etra, with Paro, with Amalek. Amazing thing. But then when he saw that Amalek was destroyed, so it was closed. Amazing matter. Yeah. There's a molech the Yisrael hoyu be'etzim paro. Kishiro Yisrael she'ibeid HaKadosh Baruch Hu molech min olam hazeh v'olam habo. Tohev v'asa tshuva. She'kin tshiv l'maylo kimocho emche zeich ha'molech v'yacha kach v'yishma Yisrael. What does it mean? Yisrael was a great tzaddik. Yisrael was the person that Moshe Rabbeinu himself asked him, please, to stay with us. As an unbelievable chacham, and the Torah respects him, and his eitzah was accepted. The Torah, where do you find Torah? How many places do you find that eitzah of another one was accepted? And Yisrael was the one that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown the Piyat Bura, and he implemented Yisrael's eitzah. Great individual. So how could a great individual be an Amalek? The answer is that he saw deeply into himself certain elements that partook of the kind of Amalek, and he uprooted it. That's what I mean. Because even a great individual can be ensnared by certain instinctual elements. So the Amalekism is what Yahadus is against. That's the worship and the aggrandizement of the self. That is the greatest evil, because if that instinct is followed to its fullest, it is the ultimate state of evil for man and for the entire world, and it's in the exact opposition to the whole system of God. It really is.
Isn't that the Greeks have the same philosophy?
See, the Greeks have the worship of beauty. See, the worship of beauty is not the same, because there's a different philosophy. The worship of beauty in the world. The worship of the aesthetic. Now again, we consider that philosophy to be evil. But it's completely wrong as a philosophy. But there is an element there that is correct. Because we do have a very, very great sensitivity for aesthetics. But what kind of aesthetics? The aesthetics of ideas, of chokhmah. Your laws and your Torah is to me like music. Music is aesthetic appreciation. So we do have a company. That's why you have the Levim or the Shiram of Levim on. To show that really that we have an appreciation of aesthetic, but a different aesthetic. Not the aesthetic of plain music or art or culture or all those kind of phenomena. We don't have any, the Torah does not respect that one iota. If a person is caught up in that type of aesthetic, he's completely away from the Derech HaTorah. We don't have any respect for literature per se, the beauty of literature, the beauty of architecture, the aesthetics of the music. No, that the Torah rejects. But the Torah maintains that there is an aesthetic appreciation which is extremely significant. It's at the very core of Yahadus. And that's Mirasai Lichutecha. So the Greeks were a worship of beauty, and aesthetics has it's completely corrupt, but it's an element, they did hinge onto an element that does have a place. Does have, and a significant place when it's applied properly. You see, if you appreciate the beauty of the aesthetic beauty of a poem, so then you're off course in Yahadus. But if you appreciate the beauty of Tehillim, then you're on course, because Tehillim reflects the true ideas. And the beauty of the ideas should move a person and give a person aesthetic appreciation. So Yahadus is a very, 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 very sophisticated system of Chochmah Hashem, and it has a deep kind of a structure and understanding of it. But it doesn't simply uproot everything. It shows you, directs man to how to place certain features in his personality, how to direct them to Chochmas Hashem. But there is the one element in which there is nothing to be saved from is the aggrandizement of the self. That is, has no place whatsoever in Yahadus. That's Vanochi Yafaveifa, and Vanachmi Mo, and Vanochi Shalash Lorish, as Chazal say, our position is in direct opposition to that. And basically the mistake that the world makes is, and it's our fault too, I mean, the Torah keeps on repeating again and again. We don't listen, we don't hear, but the Torah repeats again and again that the course of Al Chatoyim, I mean, that our position in the world is not recognized because it's our fault. I mean, we're to blame for it. It's our fault. And our fault is that we don't understand, we, Klal Yisrael, do not understand our own system. But, and that's why the world hates us, because they say that we're the chosen people, and many Jews, unfortunately, many of us really believe in the same manner as the world mentions it. They also think that that's the case. That, in other words, they mistake the Am HaNivchar, you see, for the Amo Elyon. We're not an Amo Elyon. We're an Amo Nifcha. We're not God's favorites. We're God's chosen. And there's a tremendous, tremendous difference between those two ideas. You see? And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu basically was telling Klal Yisrael in the well-known Sukkim, Elo Meribcha Mikol Amim, Lo Vitzikoscho V'yosho V'avecho, Ata Bol Reshazatum. But, and at the same time he says, Ki me'av asar Hashem eschem, u'lisham rosh eshvu asher nishba lav osecha. What does that mean? That means that we are not favorites in the sense that we enjoy and experience a sense of superiority. See, that's evil. That's a maleki. That's a malekiism. But we are the Am HaNivcha. What does Nivcha mean? Nifcha is in Russian nifal. What is nifal? Nifal means that we're an object. We're an object of something. You see, we're an object of something. We're not subject. In other words, that's why came the Ava for the Shem. It's going to sound like contradiction. On the one hand, we're saying that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that Lovitzit Kasva. On the other hand, he's saying, "Can we have a sort of Shem Eschel?" Oh, so then we're great again. So what do you mean, Lovitz and Kasher? Now, the answer is that we are in the position we are, nothing to do with ourselves. It has to do with the one is the Bocher Bahamah Yisrael. It has to do with the Kaddish Baruch. The Ava Sot Hashem, that's the phenomenon that we're an object of. But we are not special favorites. If you think that that it's you, and it's the Kascha, the Yerushal of Avcha, then you have a totally corrupt idea of the Amanis. Nifcha is Nifcha. Nifcha means that we're the object of something. That something is the great Avas Hashem, you see. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing to do with us. If we feel that it's us, favoritism, then we're falling into the trap of a Malachiism. And there's a tremendous distinction. It sounds like a subtle point, but it is the very point which is the distinction between Amalekism and Yahadus. And that's why Amalekism has such a significant role. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow Yahushua to destroy Amalek. He mocho emcha, because the only way that Amalek can be removed is la'osid lovo, where the world recognizes in Klal Yisrael as the true recognition of the correct philosophy and the true ideas and the true psychology, and understands what the good is, and also in juxtaposition is for the recognition of the self, the love of the self, and the partake of humanity. Yeah. That is true. You're right about that. It is, I thought it was a very good point. Yeah. You see, that's correct. You see, it's a good point, but you see that it is true. You see, it is very interesting. I said it's a good point. In other words, you can have the worship of man, like the Zohar Flogger, yeah, because it's an objective kind of a thing. It's an objective reality. But how do you have the worship of the self in a group? You see, it's an interesting thing. But the fact is, yes, go ahead. Go ahead. Superman.
That's correct.
I'll tell you something even crazier. We mentioned it last week that they could put God into the equation as well. They could bring God in and all the elements. It's an amazing thing. But it shows you how distorted. Akov Halev Mikol, in other words. Man's the ownership. Man's mind is sick. And it shows you how a person, an individual, can take something and completely corrupt and distort it. You're right. The method is through identification. Because there's a method of it. But the truth of the matter is that ultimately it is a group, but in each individual, each member of the group, there is only one ideology, and that is the self. And you see, that's why if you see Hitler in his last days, he turned against his own people. He wanted the whole Scorch Earth policy, every single German destroyed. And he was the only great German, you see, because the simple idea, because that was really the underlying idea all the time. But the only thing is, Amalek is not foolish. Reish's grand Amalek is very intelligent. He knows he can't do it by himself, but he says it's not possible. How could one individual conquer the world or really accomplish his own self-aggrandizement by himself? Not possible. And Amalek doesn't live out of reality. Amalek recognizes reality. Reish's Gan recognizes reality. It has culture, it has science, it has knowledge, it has all the ingredients and all the elements. But one underlying corrupt idea. And that is glorification of the self, not humanity itself. And many selves can get together and engage in that same process. That is really the phenomenon of Amalek. That's the phenomenon. It sounds logically crazy, but it sounds logically crazy, but it is true. That's what Yehudas were the ones that uncovered. There's a system that uncovers that such a thing is possible. Yes. You're absolutely right, but you hit the point on the head. The point is that Amalek, when we say Amalek is really a sophisticated nation, they recognize the fact that the true ideology is their ultimate enemy, and that is the Jew. Because they sense in the Jew the true philosophy, which is the thing that is the greatest danger to them. They have a sensitivity for it, and that's why they'll always single out the Jew. You see? You're right about that. There can be self-aggrandizement, and the Torah recognizes that a human being is very complex, and there are many, many factors, an interplay of many forces. Just like there's an interplay of many forces in an individual, there's an interplay of many forces in a political system and in a society as well. But the mark of Amalek is that it has a sensitivity, and it recognizes in a certain distorted way, it has a recognition of that the true philosophy is really its ultimate undoing and its greatest enemy, and that's why it must destroy the Jew. That's what the Torah says. Muhammad was saying Amalek means Dardo. So I don't know too much about Napoleon, but
We make no claim
that we have any understanding of God in terms of, I can't use the word even, motivation. I mean, the word is an inappropriate word. We have no understanding of the Borei Olam. We just know that he's the source of all chokhmah in all existence, and we know that the system that he has dictated to this world is the correct, the absolute, the correct, the most just system for man. And if it is his will that we play the role, it is not because we are favorites. And that's the Mishamra Sushwash and Yizba Lava Sech. On the contrary, Chazal say that the Malach HaShare said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, why did you take them? Halolo of Devarazah, halolo of Devarazah. The Malach HaShare didn't understand. And if it weren't for Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we would be zero. Why we? In other words, did you do anything to make Avram Avinu your progenitor? Yeah, I understand. No matter what happened, it's not so simple either. Nothing is simple. There's no matter what happened. If there were no matter what happened, we wouldn't have any plan. We wouldn't have to worry about anything. We only know that we don't. We don't know, but certain things we do know, and that is that it is not our superiority. That we know. It's not a superiority, and we are not favorites in the sense of the word favorite. That's wrong. We are nifchorim. Nifchorim means we are for some reason that is not attributable to our own sense of self-importance. In any way whatsoever, we are obligated to play a role in the philosophy of the world, in the correct philosophy of the world. That's what we know. We have to make sure we understand what we know and what we don't know. And if we make a mistake on this, it's not just a mistake. It's a basic fundamental corruption. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. Lo v'tzitzchav yechel alokha, and nevertheless, me'avas Hashem, am ha'nivcha, not the am ha'elyon, the am ha'nivcha. Yele sitcha elyon, that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing. But we are basically the am ha'nivcha. It's a different concept and a very important concept. Because the other concept, which I mentioned before, that the world criticizes us for it, and it's a terrible thing, and it's an unjust thing, but nevertheless, we have to shoulder some of the responsibility, because Jews do walk around feeling, with a certain feeling of superiority, which is completely unwarranted, baseless, nonsensical, and against everything that the Torah stands for. Any kind of sense of superiority that we're smarter, we're this, we're better. And I want you to know that the whole concept, the ones that, the, for instance, the maskilim. The maskilim are supposed to be, you know, the intelligentsia, the super educated. So they already weren't going to be so primitive to believe our religion, either. They developed beyond that. Where did they develop? I'll tell you where they developed. They developed to have an allegiance and a sense of aggrandizement for the Amma Yisraeli. You see? That, in other words, Jewish culture, Jewish Acharon. Is it possible to say that the other nations are worse than us? Is that why we are so good? What was the answer? Same as the answer, Efsha. Why? Because we didn't do this. Absolute corruption. Because what happens is, if you leave the idea of the Am HaNivchar and Ki Me'avas HaRashem Eschem, which is something we have no way of understanding, we don't understand God, and a human being is not capable of even approaching such an idea, but we know the effect, the Am HaNivchar, once you leave that idea, then what do you say? Oh, the Jews are a culture. We have certain, we're a superior culture. That's Amalekia. The philosophy of the Maskilim is they thought they were becoming very sophisticated, and they fell into the most primitive trap, which is Amalekism, which the Torah detests. I want to just mention one more thing. Yes, sir. I can't explain everything in quote a logical way. You see, because it is logical, but is it logical, for instance, to have a serial killer that performs the most atrocious, disgusting, unbelievable type of actions that a normal person can't even read about it? Okay? Is that logical? The answer is not quote logical, but there is a logic to it, because if there is such a person, then it's working in this world, so there has to be a cause and effect, a chain, and some kind of a logic to it. That, if you don't accept that idea, then you can't, then you're going to be over Lo Sifka. Because that's the same type of reason I mentioned last week. That people say they can't be, the Nazis, the Germans can't be doing these horrible things. It's beyond any kind of description. I mean, it's so intolerable you can't even think about it. So it can't be happening. The answer is that kind of reasoning is what the Torah warns against. Lo Sishka. Because there are people like that, and you have to recognize that that is true. You have to understand what this evil can lead to. Horrible things that a normal person could not even imagine, but it is really, in truth, logical in the sense that it exists and that it's traceable to an element in man. And there's a reason for it. You can't just say that it does, it's not true. That would be like denying pathology. Deny all pathology because it's too horrible. You're absolutely right. You're right. If you ever read any of the current Nazi literature, you know what they're called for? The Talmud. The Talmud. All they're called for the Talmud. And the most obscure medrash they'll pull out. They study it with a vengeance, you see. But what I want to tell you again is, that what Yahadus is saying is that man is not a simple life form. He is not a simple life form. He is very complex. He's complex physically, physiologically, and psychologically, and in every, in a multifarious way. So that don't be simplistic, and don't think that there cannot be, evil can never reach certain proportions because you can't imagine it. You would know, how could it be? How could it be? If you study and you understand the nature of man, you'll see that it can be. And unfortunately, it was and it is. Okay. Self-aggrandizement. He has to be willing. Sometimes he's in a position where he can really accomplish a lot through showing that he really, through actively participating in the correct philosophy. That's like, I one time mentioned, like a Gare Esme. He said, why is it that he says, he's a very intelligent fellow, and he says, I'm not going to be angry, I'm not trying to test you. He says, yeah, but why can't I be on a bet? I just want to know, So I told him, I said, there are many things, that being on a bezin is not an ego trip. Being on a bezin is a serious obligation, and you chachamim ran away from you. And the reason why a ger can't be on a bezin is because people are not going to listen to him, because they're going to say, yesterday he was over the bazaar, and who is he telling you what to do? So there are many reasons why, and there's nothing wrong. The ger, on the contrary, is becoming the biggest mitzvah, by humbling himself and recognizing the true ideas, he's not losing out anything. And same thing with Amon and Moab. There are certain ideas. The way the halachic system works is that certain ideas become halacha. Every halachic structure is a representation of a philosophical principle. So the person that can't, is a person to be part of Klal Yisrael, is not the same thing as being an Adam HaSholem. You could be the greatest Adam HaSholem and not be a member of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael has a very specific role. So if a person is an Ammoni and a Moavi, and Ammoni is a Moavi and Moavi is a Moavi, and he recognizes that he can't, he can become a Jew, but he can't, the problem is with the Isha. So he has to recognize that he's in a position through, on the contrary, through subordination of the self, he can contribute to the fact that this idea of chesed is a part of the nation, and therefore, because he reflects the idea of Ammoni and Moavi, which Lokidmurcham Balacham Amayim, so he has to be willing to say that he can't participate. And on the contrary, this is the greatest chus for that individual. And he could have the greatest chelik in Olam Haba, and he doesn't make him any less in terms of his kiyuv lamakom, in terms of his chelik in Olam Haba. But he has a very special role, because Amon and Moab reflect an idea, and Klal Yisrael is a contradictory idea, and therefore it is not possible to have Klal Yisrael represent what it's meant to represent if Amon and Moab can be part of Klal Yisrael. But of course, it's only when there was an identity of Ammoni and Moavi. As long as that existed, so now it doesn't listen. The individual sometimes has to not just participate voluntarily, say yes, but he has to be forced to participate. But he does not lose out by it, and it's the biggest curse for that reason.